You tell me your name, David?
David Gracie.
And where were you born, David?
I was born in Bonnybridge.
Ah, right. And what year?
1927.
Wow. Right, okay. Now, that seems to be just about right. Right, we will commence. So I'll just start doing the formal bit first of all.
Right.
So this is Miles Tubb interviewing David Gracie. And we're the 11th of March. And we're going to be talking about a little bit. Well, we'll talk about a bit about your life, David. And then a little bit about Lark Hall and how you got into running.
Yes.
So you've already, if you just tell me again where you were born.
Bonnybridge in Stirlingshire. But moved to, at an early age, to Stonehouse in Lanarkshire. And then, in the mid-1930s, to Lark Hall. I've always been interested in running at school. Probably why I was interested, because I was invariably the best. But I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet. The war came along, of course, and all sporting activities were virtually given up. Mm. 1945, I went off to the Royal Marines and did 2 years military service coming out in 1947 when I started a veterinary career at the Glasgow College.
Right.
In the spring of 1948, I thought, oh golly, I must get back to running. I so enjoyed it. And taking my nerves in my hand, I knocked at the local wooden door of the Lark Hall YMCA Harriers on a Tuesday evening. And someone just came to the door and I said, I'm interested in running. Do you think I could join you? And they said, of course, come in. That was the start of 6 years of a very happy and enjoyable period of my life. Mm-hmm. There were approximately 20 of us who were all there because we were interested in running. During the winter, it was cross country. Autumn and the spring, road running, and in the summer, track and field. So in 1948, I started my first running at the many, many amateur games that you had in West of Scotland at that time, mainly the police, Glasgow Police, Motherwell Police, Hamilton Police, Lanarkshire, all had open amateur athletic meetings. Mm-hmm. And I ran in 100 and 220, but I wasn't particularly successful. The following year, I was running at the YMCA games at Alloa, Peyton and Baldwin, and I was running in 100 yards, as it was at that time. And I had two false starts. So I was disqualified. Ooh. So I ran in the 440 yards, which I'd never done before, won it. A month later, I ran in the Scottish Championships at Hampden and won the Scottish title, 1949. The college, when I started, was an independent college. But in 1948, the Veterinary Surgeons Act meant that to qualify as a veterinary surgeon, you had to go to university and have a degree as opposed to a diploma. Mm. So I was then able to run for Glasgow University.
Of course.
And so, 1950, I lost my Scottish title. but I was running for the university. And in 1951, in the spring of 1951, at the freshers' meeting at Glasgow University, the champion did not run in his own event, so I couldn't really run in the 440 yards. So I thought, what will I do? So I ran in the 440 hurdles, which I have never done in my life. But having been high jump and long jump champion at Hamilton, going over the 3 foot hurdle was no obstacle. So I ran in the race, not only won it, but set up a Scottish University Glasgow record. Fortnight later, I was running at St Andrews against Aberdeen, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and the four Scottish universities. And I won the title with a new Scottish universities record. A fortnight later, I ran at Hampden in the Scottish Championships, won the race and broke the Scottish record that had stood since 1927.
Grief.
In the autumn of that year, the British Olympic Association announced the Olympic probables, and my name was down as a probable for 400 metres.
Grief.
Although I was running for the university, all my training, all my interests were with Lark Hall YMCA Harriers.
Right.
I knew the chaps. University was a long way. The Westerlands was about an hour and a half in the car to go and put out your hurdles. It was a non-event. We'd no hurdles in the Harriers.
Right.
But a very good friend, Ian Duncan, apprentice joiner, made me a wooden hurdle, and I did all my Olympic training over that.
That's amazing.
I never once ran 440 hurdles before, in practice, before I went to the Olympic Games.
Mm.
As I say, there were about 20 of us in the Harriers. A school teacher helped us, but all the rest of us were just late teens, early 20s.
Right.
And there was no coaching. We just ran because we enjoyed running. And we used to, in order to run a lap, one of the lads would run the first 220 and another lad would take over and run the next 220 to try and pull me out as much as possible.
So that was your techniques
There was no, absolutely no, nobody had any knowledge. And especially my event, the 440 hurdles, which is a fairly specialised event.
Yeah.
First of all, you've got to manage the technique of hurdling, and then you've got to get your stride pattern right so that you don't go like this.
Mm.
But nobody, including myself, had ever experienced that. So it was purely trial by error. But...
because in these days, people have specialist coaches, they have all this, don't they?
I was a student, and when you'd finished your morning lecture, you went to the refectory, and you picked what was probably the cheapest thing available, whether it was nutritious or advantageous, didn't matter, two hoots. And occasionally I used to get home at Lark. I had to go by an hour on the bus to go into Glasgow. When I got home at 5:30 on a Tuesday or Thursday night, I thought, oh gosh, we'll go training at 7:30. I better not eat too much. But sometimes I was so hungry, I did eat. And of course, what happened when you're training? You were sick. But that was the level. It was a totally and utterly different world from today.
So it was very much about your natural skills and attributes, wasn't it?
As I said, I was a sports champion at Hamilton Academy. That was only 1945. Up until 1945, with the war on, there was nothing. But I won the high jump, I won the long jump, and the one of the sprints I tied with a chap in the 220. But I had natural ability, nothing to do with me, just a God-given gift, natural ability.
And did you have that, did you start that when you were in primary school? Were you?
Yes, well, at Stonehouse, I remember, used to run round a block of houses, half the time you disappeared out of sight because, you're going round in a circle. But invariably, when I came round the last bend, I was first. Please don't think I'm being conceited,
Not at all.
My father had been a good athlete in his day.
Right.
So it was a hereditary factor, I think.
And did he encourage you to run?
No. He didn't. He left it up to me.
Right.
But.
And you're obviously a very, very modest man, but I'm interested to know, are you competitive once you get on the track?
Oh, no. I ran to the best of my ability. And I used to say, coming round the last bend, you're getting tired, David. But remember, the other four are getting tired too. But in those days, if you lost, you lost. The British Empire didn't fall apart. But you made up your mind, golly, I'll try and do better the next time.
Yes. Because I've read that you broke a record at, was it White City Stadium?
It tells you out there,
a
hill.
Which one's that, Dad? Is that a picture?
No. It's the I held the Scottish record, 440 hurdles, and I held the British record for a year.
Right.
I held the British record for a year.
I wonder if that's the one that was down in London, White City, that you might
right,
have
run. Yes, well. After the Olympic Games, there used to be at that time an athletic meeting between the USA and the British Empire.
Right.
And the winner of the Olympic, the winner of the gold medal in Helsinki was the American Charlie Moore.
Right.
So Charlie Moore led the three Americans, and I with Angus Scott and Harry Whittle were the three British people.
Right.
We ran, but of course Charlie Moore won the race, but I was second, and in coming second, I broke the British record.
That's amazing.
I
was just reading wherever, sorry to interrupt you, that there was a 40,000 crowd.
Yes. For 40,000 crowd probably and 40,000 locked outside. No, maybe 10,000, 20,000.
And did that not faze you having all those people?
No. Once you got down on the track and the gun went.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a wee story.
Just
switch off.
I was going to ask you the amount. Did you get very tense just before that gun went off?
Well, I told you I was disqualified for two false starts at the Scottish YMCA. No, it's amazing once. Okay, you're worked up beforehand, and if you're not worked up, there's something wrong. But once the gun goes, you're so tied up with running that everything else is is out with your no, I don't. You just try your best, and that's that. It was a highly enjoyable period of my life.
Mm.
The war had, you know, we'd lived, Mary and I had lived through the war, finished in 1945. 1948, things were still quite tough in this country. There was still food rationing, still a tremendous number of people away in the forces. I had done my 2 years military service, started in a new veterinary career. The world was, Mary and I were seeing each other occasionally, and life was good.
Yes.
Life was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we were fit and healthy, and illness wasn't a problem.
No.
So, but then of course, after the Olympic Games '54, I ran on, but the desire, if I'd started with the European Games or the Commonwealth Games, I would still have had the Olympic Games to look for, but the desire to train at 6:30 in the morning, the desire to train at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night had gone.
Right, okay.
And these people that compete, and of course it's different now, they get financial support, but
yes.
People go on to do 4 or 5 Olympics. It's the sheer determination that these people have got, that you've got, not their ability to take part in a particular event, but to be able to be so self-centred to do it. That's what goes.
Yeah.
That's what goes.
Yeah.
And of course, I qualified in 54, and a new life beckoned, and we got married in 55, and that was my athletics going.
Well, let's take you back to the Olympics, because you reached the semi-final, didn't you?
Yeah.
The 400.
And it was very unlucky.
You were in the wrong half of the semi-finals, weren't
you? Yeah. Been all changed since then.
Yeah.
I didn't run a good race though, because of my inexperience. I made a botch of a hurdle. I was lying third and would have qualified, but made a botch of a hurdle, the fifth or sixth hurdle. It's your stride pattern. You must hit your stride pattern right. Because if you find you're coming up to a hurdle and you're too far away, you've got to put in an extra 2, and that's time lost.
Yeah, of course.
But I was really desperately unlucky. There were two semi-finals run just one after the other. I was in the first semi-final, and I was lying third for some considerable time, and would have qualified for the final, but I made a mess of a hurdle. Can't blame anybody except myself. And I finished fourth. But if I'd been in the next semi-final, I would have been second. And after that, that's why it's the first 2 and the 6 fastest losers.
Yeah. What a shame.
I would have been in this, and the person that got this, I would never have got the bronze medal. I would never have got the gold medal. I would never have got the silver medal. But I had already beaten the chap, John Holland from New Zealand, who got the bronze medal. And I might have got the bronze medal with luck.
Yeah.
But there you are. I was too inexperienced.
Did you have any? You must have had coaching from other people at that stage, did you?
No. I had never had a coach for the. I never once ran 440 hurdles in a practice. But first of all, you've got to have 10 hurdles. Yeah. And if you're going to put out 10 hurdles at the right distance, that's a day's work in itself almost. And the only place you could do it would be Westerlands, Glasgow University. Mm. And that was a grass track, which was totally different to a gravel track.
It's interesting that you really relived you hitting that hurdle.
Yeah.
And it's obviously still quite in your mind.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I didn't hit it. I just misjudged it. You're supposed to take it in your 13th step.
Right.
But as the race goes on, you get tired and your stride shortens. And you should say to yourself, I'm going to manage this hurdle in 13, or do I prepare a long way away to go over my 15th?
Right.
And I didn't do that. So when I come up to the hurdle, I realised I was good score. I tip it in.
Oh, no.
I'll show you a photograph of the semi-final games. But, of course, the technique has all now changed.
Yeah.
And you can take, if you're a good hurdler, you can take it with your left or your right.
I see, right.
But you see, I didn't know about these things.
No.
If you see, golly, I should take this my right, but I'm going to be short, so you put in an extra one. So you take it left or right.
And did you have, in terms of getting to Helsinki, were you given any funds to get to Helsinki?
Oh, no. Actually, when I ploughed my pathology exam, you know what the professor said?
No.
This is one ratio, not winning ratio.
Well, that's harsh.
I said to him, you bugger. Under my breath. No, that was one. I didn't want my veterinary diploma, MRCVS, to be in any way diminished by thinking, you know, Grace is a good runner, we'll ease the passage for him.
No.
So.
And what did the fellas think back at Lark Hall of your?
Oh, they were very kind. They gave me some books.
Wow.
Surgery books, I don't know. Some veterinary books.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of money.
No.
Nobody had much money, but no, they were kind. Mm. They were kind. I'll show you what the what the citizens of Lark Hall gave me.
Good grief!
But the people were nice to me.
And of course, the Helsinki Games. It was Zatopek, wasn't it? Was the big star?
He was the hero. As says there.
And you saw his races.
Yeah, he saw his races.
Definitely.
Zatopek. Mm-hmm. 5,000, 10,000, and marathon, all within 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
But and I've always said he was my hero.
Mm.
But I've read a biography of him. And things in the early 1950s were beginning to change.
Right.
As in all sport, you know, tennis, cricket. And the amateur game was being pushed aside. Some people were true amateurs, such as I was.
Mm.
But Zatopek was in the Czechoslovakian army, a colonel or a major.
Oh, right.
I wonder how much army work he did as opposed to athletic training.
Mm.
People were getting sinecure jobs, but 100% devoted to athletics. So his reputation, maybe in my mind, has been slightly tarnished, because I wonder how, you know, to it's like amateurs competing against professionals.
Yes.
It's not on.
And it was professionalism by the back door, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right.
So do you still have an interest in athletics?
No, not to the same extent. It's a different world. A different world. It's probably a better world, and it's opened up to more people who never had the chance. Mm-hmm. We went to Buckingham Palace before we went to the games for afternoon tea, mm-hmm. along with Canada, Australia and New Zealand athletes, but nobody from Africa or anything like that. It's a much wider field now, and yeah. more people are getting the opportunity, and they're making money out of it, so good luck to them. But I was just reading recently, some of them now, when their athletic career is over, are sort of wondering, what do I do now?
Mm.
What
yes.
they haven't prepared for it.
And of course, this is the difference.
I finished and I graduated, well, qualified in 54, and immediately moved into a veterinary career. Mm. Athletics, I hadn't time to worry about not running. And that's one of the big dangers of professional sport, isn't it? You see it with a lot of these, well, Gascoigne of Glasgow Rangers, great name playing football, and as soon as his football days are over,
yeah.
lost.
Yeah. So did you, when you stopped, did you miss it?
Oh, no. Well, I went all the way down to Kent in general practice.
Right.
And I thought, well, if I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, I'm going to be as far away from Lark Hall as possible.
Protecting your reputation, I can see that.
No, I thought, if I inject a pig and it dies, I better get away first. No, well, Marion kept saying, you're very fast on the running track, but what about this finger?
Oh.
Your hands are freezing.
So she beat you to the tape with that one, didn't she? Good.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. Oh, it was. It was good fun.
Yes.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
But you've got to be very careful. It doesn't become an obsession.
And I suppose it does with some people.
Oh,
it
does, yes, it does. I've seen it in the golf course.
Yeah.
With young lads playing well and their handicap coming down. They can't get out to the golf course quickly enough. So.